Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us! That's right! I love this American!
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Buckle up, America. Hello, everybody. Todd Starnes here. Your friendly neighborhood broadcaster back from his sick bed. Wow. What a weekend. Jeez-a-loo. Anyway, good to have you. Good to have you with us today, and it is great to be back. And I want to thank our good buddy Jeff Stein, always a trooper, our friend at KXEL, our terrific affiliate in Waterloo, Iowa. And man, those folks know hospitality out there. But I just want to say thank you so much, and we're going to have a great time today. May I just ask a question? And I don't mean to be rude here, ladies and gentlemen, but what the heck is wrong with our country? I've never seen anything like this at all. This is just mind-boggling. So last night we got word that they had finally arrested the killer of the United Healthcare chief executive officer. The guy shot in New York City, and we've been following all the developments, and the guy got caught at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. That's Ben Dieter's old stomping grounds. And so the guy, his name is Luigi Mangione. And so now this guy has become like a heartthrob. People are lusting after this killer. It's the craziest thing. The McDonald's, and I got to tell you something. You know who did it? You know, somebody said that Trump was actually covertly working at the McDonald's in Altoona. He's the guy that ratted out Mangione. I can't verify that information. He was working the fry line. So anyway, you got to love McDonald's. Though. They can't get this kind of publicity. So it was thanks to some quick thinking McDonald's staffers that they captured this guy, and the police did an amazing job. Everybody, you know, law enforcement, God love them. They really worked their butts off on this one. And so they got the guy. So instead of like saying, thank God we've got a very dangerous person, a crazed killer off the streets, you've got society at large defending this guy like he's a modern day, I don't know, Jesse James or Bonnie and Clyde. But it's really insane the level of animosity towards the CEO of United Healthcare. And by the way, it's not just United Healthcare. I think every CEO in the country has a great big bullseye on them right now. And you've got people out there literally talking about how they want more CEOs to get assassinated. Cut 15, please.
I don't give a that he shot that CEO. I hope he's got a list. I hope he's working down.
All right, there you go. That's just a smidge of the animosity. As a matter of fact, and now they're coming after McDonald's. That's the crazy part about this. These are just poor McDonald's workers, and they're doing their job. And I want you to listen to cut 11.
Okay, so they've arrested our hot CEO assassin. Turns out his name's Luigi. He's 26 years old. He's an Ivy League grad. Did his undergrad and master's at Penn in computer science. That's my type. He's a little young for me, but... baby, what is you doing getting caught eating at McDonald's? And curse you, McDonald's employee, for turning him in. But I get it. They upped the reward to $60,000. Maybe you needed that money. I never understood those crazy women that wrote inmates in jail, but I could see myself doing that.
Wow. This is it's beyond weird, but they're treating this killer, Luigi, like he's some sort of a hero. And the latest now is that he's bisexual. So now you have the gay community going bonkers over this guy. On CNN, they literally told the production staff to take down their lower third so they could see the guy's six-pack. This was happening on CNN. So the governor of Pennsylvania, the Democrat, John Shapiro, has to come out. This is how bad it is. The governor had to come out and tell people, hey, this guy is no hero.
This killer is being hailed as a hero. Hear me on this. He is no hero. The real hero in this story is the person who called 911 at McDonald's this morning. The real heroes every day in our society are the women and men who put on uniforms like these and go out in our communities to keep us safe. This killer was not a hero. He should not be hailed.
Well said, Governor Shapiro. And it's what does it say about this country that you have to get out there and say that to the general population? We're not talking about just a few nut jobs on the TikTok or the interwebs. We're talking about a general mindset in this country that, you know what? I know the guy was married and had two kids, but, you know, maybe he had it coming. I mean, you've got podcasters with massive audiences out there now saying that in reality, this was a justifiable homicide because the CEOs were responsible for all of the problems with people not getting access to whatever operations they needed. But the reality of that, ladies and gentlemen, the only person to blame for that is Barack Hussein Obama, who destroyed our nation's healthcare system. Now, many of you may not, our younger audience members will not remember these days. But there was a time, ladies and gentlemen, and some of you probably remember this. Let's just say you had a little bit of the sniffles, right? Well, so yesterday I was not feeling well. All right. So what would you normally do? Well, before Obamacare, before they blew up our healthcare system, which, by the way, was really shoddy at times, and there were things that needed to be fixed with the insurance industry and whatnot. I get that. But to blow up the whole thing, we were warned at the time that this would happen, that we would come to a point in American history where people would not be able to get the coverage and the care they needed. So back before Obamacare, if you got sick, guess what? You called the doctor's office and they would fit you in. Now you call the doctor's office, we can fit you in and say, how's February? Well, yeah, if I'm alive, are you kidding me? But that's where we are right now. That has nothing to do with the insurance companies. That has everything to do with Barack Hussein Obama. Nobody's blaming Obama for this, but he deserves all of the blame here, along with the late Senator John McCain. We had a chance to destroy Obamacare and start all over again. And by the way, the Republicans don't have a plan. That's why they haven't pitched such a hissy fit over this stuff. But anyway, back to this guy, Mangione. I mean, this guy is screwed up. And here's what gets me. When you go back and when you watch his, he was a valedictorian of his graduating class. He went to a very Tony school in Baltimore. And the school, by the way, cost almost $38,000 a year. If you're a student there, over $38,000 a year. This kid came from privilege, super wealthy family. The kid was super smart. He was a valedictorian. In his valedictory address, he sounds like a normal kid. And quite frankly, he comes from a conservative family, a Republican family, and he sort of sounded like a Republican. So what happened? That's the question we need to be focused on. What exactly happened to this guy? Where did this guy get radicalized with all of this this hatred towards the government and the hatred towards these CEOs? Where did all of this take place? Where did all of that develop? And I would contend, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to take a very long, hard look at what's happening on these university campuses around the nation. This guy went to Ivy League. He got 2 degrees from the Ivy League. There's something going on. There's a lot that we don't know about. And we're going to get to the bottom. But by the way, did you see the Ben Dieter, did you see the photo? You know, they took a photo. They call it the mugshot, but it's really not the mugshot. But it's a photograph of the guy in jail, in the cell there in Altoona. Did you notice something very peculiar about the photo?
The one where he was standing up, the full body shot?
He peed himself.
Yeah.
He peed himself. So here's what gets me. How do you pee yourself getting arrested at McDonald's when he didn't pee himself when he shot the guy in cold blood out in front of the Hilton Hotel on 6th Avenue in New York City?
Maybe he thought he was going to get away with it. I mean, this is a crazy story. They said when the law enforcement in Altoona, Pennsylvania actually walked up to him, he was sitting there on his laptop doing some work. Who knows what he was doing? And it was, as you said, the McDonald's worker called the law enforcement. They walked up to him and he said, "Were you just in New York?" And that's when he was, quote, trembling like a leaf, just started shaking uncontrollable. He knew it was over.
He may have supersized the beverage.
Yeah.
That could have been it.
Of all the places to hide out, who knew? A Mickey D's.
A Mickey D's and Altoona. Why would you not head for the border? Now, he says he had all this foreign currency on him. He had all this cash, thousands of dollars.
And the Monopoly money.
And yes. And he said that this was a setup. There's so much to this that makes absolutely no sense at all. But apparently the guy had some health issues, back trouble. But I know a lot of people with back trouble that go out there and assassinate healthcare CEOs.
Yeah, back trouble? He was only 26 years old.
Yeah, there was some sort of a surfing accident or something. And also, the live-in community, you know, they interviewed the roommate in Hawaii on CNN. And there's something really weird and super shady about all of that, but it's like a communal style living arrangement, but it's a super wealthy communal style. And it was interesting. You know where they were interviewing the roommate from?
Where?
Not Hawaii, Mexico.
Oh.
So sounds like somebody was going where there's not an extradition policy. By the way, Shanklin says this. Paul Shanklin, just to reiterate what I was just telling you, that this is all about Obama. He said, why are these people mad at the insurance companies? The insurance companies are playing by the rules that Obama gave them. Because of the rules of Obamacare, it's very difficult to challenge a denial by an insurance company. It would be interesting to hear from somebody who is an industry expert, and we'll get one of those on the show. But you can't blame the insurance companies. Like Shanklin said, they're just playing by the rules that Barack Hussein Obama set up.
Well, when anybody talks about healthcare, what country do they talk about? The one that they want to copy and paste here for America? Canada. And if you look at Canada's healthcare system, if you want to go fix, I don't know, you get strep throat, you will not get amoxicillin for about 2 months. And so if they have issues with healthcare now, wait until we adopt Canada's healthcare system.
Well, and the problem here is everybody wants a surgery to fix this or that. The problem is nobody's going to get that surgery. You will end up dying before you get the surgery because, by the way, and this is another story we're not talking about, but the fewer numbers of people that are going into the medical profession, and why is that? It's because of the insurance coverage they have, the liability insurance, all the rules and regulations. Now, a lot of people have decided, you know what, it's really not worth it to be a doctor or a nurse anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a very dangerous situation that is unfolding in our country. We haven't been talking about it. We should be talking about it, and we are talking about it now. But I'm telling you, this is what happens when you destroyed what was working. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. But it was working. But my question, ladies and gentlemen, as we go to break, what does it say about this country where so many people are now defending the assassin here and saying that he was justified in taking out this guy? 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, hang on tight because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher, and you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you gotta act fast. Text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 24999 now. All right, just for all of the libs out there, just a reminder of and maybe this is a good primer. We try to help folks understand what's happening and interpret what's happening in the culture. So maybe this is going to be, we can use this as a public service announcement for the liberals in the Todd Stern Show listening audience. Daniel Penny, the guy who stopped a madman from killing people on the New York City subway, that guy is a hero. Meanwhile, Luigi Mangione, the guy who assassinated the United Healthcare CEO, is a bad guy. So good guy, Daniel Penny, Mangione, bad guy. Just so you can understand that. Let's go to the phone lines here. John in Kentucky has a theory about why everything is going off the rails. All right, John, I'm all ears.
Well, first of all, hello, Todd, and hello, Ben, hello to the entire staff. The reason why this is all happening, seriously, Todd, ever since this pandemic happened, ever since all this happened, you've had an increase of domestic violence, children having suicide, the dumbing down of America. This assassination was just the tip of the iceberg. And I got a solution to the medical issue as well, Todd, and I will hang up and listen to your answer. Why doesn't the president appoint GPs or general practitioners, regular doctors, and form a plan and come up with their own plan? And I'll guarantee you, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to understand and a lot easier to read. And because they came up with a plan prior to the Obamacare, it was 12 pages long. And I'm thinking the doctors, regular doctors, Donald Trump, could bring them together and they can come up with their own insurance plan. And don't forget, Todd, the 23rd of February is Festivus for the rest of us. Love you, brother.
All right. Well, thank you, John. And again, folks, the reality to all of this is Obama broke it, and now we're all suffering the consequences. I mean, that's really the reality of where we're at right now. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. But what does it say about our country where this guy is being celebrated as a hero? And I'm wondering if the looks have something to do with it. I mean, if this guy had been some sort of, like, I don't know, 400-pound, you know, tub of lard, a transgender dude. Well, no, the trans, you can't talk about those folks if they go out and kill people. But let's just say that you had some, you know, big 500-pound tub of lard going out there. Do you think that people would still feel the same way? Remember the Sarnaev brothers, the guys that blew up the Boston Marathon? I mean, Rolling Stone portrayed the surviving Sarnaev brother as if he was some sort of a rock star. But I want you to think long and hard about this, and John brought this up. There was another time in world history when something like this happened. And if nothing else, this has now been exposed, this evil, devious plot, which is actually unfolding on our public university campuses. Back when the Bolsheviks were about ready to take over what was then Russia and then turn it into the Soviet Union, what did they do? They demonized the wealthy, the rich, and the famous. That's what they did. And they targeted them, including the wealthy farmers, the landowners. The same thing happened in South Africa after apartheid. And look at what's happening right here in America now, ladies and gentlemen. So be careful, because this is not the end of this story. I'm just telling you. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce their Christmas extravaganza is finally here. Get this season's flannel sheets for as low as $59.98. They won't last long, so get them while you can. Their famous My Slippers, those haven't been on sale for over a year. Normally $119, but for a limited time, only $59.98. And their six-piece towel sets are back in stock with extremely limited quantities, only $29.98. With hundreds of MyPillow products, there's something for everyone on your Christmas list. From bathrobes, duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and be sure to use promo code STARNS to save on all MyPillow products. That's promo code STARNS. Flannel sheets for as low as $59.98 or the six-piece towel sets for just $29.98, but that's not all. They're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025. Plus, all orders $75 or more ship absolutely free. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, this Daniel Penny case out of New York City, that's the only verdict the jury could render. I mean, in all honesty. And I know that Black Lives Matter, they want to go out there and kill all you white folks. I get that. But the reality is that it was black folks who were actually being protected by Daniel Penny on the New York City subway car. I mean, when you go back and look at all, and we look, this is not Todd Stern speaking out the wazoo, only because I do not speak out the wazoo and never have I spoken out the wazoo. This is actually Todd Stern's doing the investigative research, going back and actually looking at the videos, the body cam footage, and everybody on that subway did not look like blonde hair, blue eyed, lily white Daniel Penny, 26-year-old Marine Corps veteran. And I will tell you this, as someone who used to take the subway every day into the Fox News Quarter of the World from downtown Brooklyn where I lived, you want somebody like Daniel Penny on a subway car when all you know what breaks loose. And the fact is that this Jordan Neely guy, 30 years old, and they call him unhoused. No, he was a mentally insane homeless drug addict. That's who he was. As a matter of fact, the guy's own family wouldn't let him stay in their house. What does that say about Daddy Neely? What does that say about him? And we'll get to that in just a moment. But now you've got Black Lives Matter out there, and they're saying that this guy was that Daniel Penny is a threat. So is CNN, by the way. Everybody's calling this guy a threat when all he did was subdue the threat. So now you've got Black Lives Matter, and they're out there threatening to burn down New York City, and they were actually calling on black vigilantes to go out there and target white people, people of the Caucasian persuasion. Here's one of the BLM leaders, cut three.
Because to be real, they didn't even try. Once the lesser charge was removed, they came back an hour later and said it was deadlock. Less than an hour and 20 minutes later, they said not guilty. These wonderful white people, I hope they celebrate their Christmas while the Neely family is praying and asking God for comfort. Them and America.
Yeah, GD America and GD all you white people. That's what she was. We had to bleep that out. And I don't know about you, Ben Dieter. I'm going to have a very lovely Christmas. Quite frankly, we're even going to gather the whole Stearns family around the piano, and we might even sing, you know, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
It's not the time.
Caucasian Christmas. My apologies. But in all honesty, I'm feeling pretty darn good right now. And the reality is, a lot of the minorities that were on that subway car, they're going to have very nice Christmases as well, because Daniel Penny didn't wait for this guy to go out there and start slaughtering people. And this is a very bad guy, bashing the skull in of an old lady. He's got a long criminal record, and yet all of a sudden he becomes the new George Floyd. But I don't think the American people are buying any of this now. I think we have moved past, because they were hoping to burn down New York City, and I don't even think they lit a garbage dumpster on fire.
They had three people out there protesting. Three people.
That was it. Oh, here's the guy. That's a, we need some black vigilantes. Cut 13, please.
We need some black vigilantes.
That's right.
People want to jump up and choke us and kill us for being loud. How about we do the same when they attempt to oppress us?
Right.
I'm tired.
Tired.
I'm tired, too. You know what I'm tired of, dude? Shut up and get a job. You know, come on.
Hawk Newsom is his name.
Hawk Newsom.
Hawk.
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 Hawk Tui? No, that's a different,
different
person.
Different person.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to keep up these days.
Yeah.
Get a job, pal. Get a job. So anyway, good for Daniel. But now, did you see what they're doing, Dieter? And I knew this was going to happen. They, I mean, if you are facing, you know, decades in prison, you're found not guilty, what are you going to go do after the verdict is rendered?
I celebrate. I would go to my favorite restaurant. I'd go get a rack of ribs.
You're going
to
get, no, you'd be drinking a Moscow Mule, sir.
Yes, I would.
You'd be, so.
I'd be hammered.
So Daniel Penny, he went out to a bar and they took a photograph of Daniel Penny in the bar. And now he's drinking. Do you see that? He's drinking like Pete Hegseth. He had a beer.
I think I would also have a beer if I was knowing that I might be spending 20 years behind bars.
Yeah, if that's their argument, and again, I don't want to, we'll get to Pete Hegseth in a few minutes, but if the argument is Pete Hegseth had a beer on St. Patrick's Day and Daniel Penny had a beer after he was acquitted of these trumped up charges, they're going to lose that argument. I don't think the American people are going to cast stones at somebody because they have a brewski or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very interesting. I'm shocked. Were you kind of shocked? Maybe I shouldn't have been shocked that verdict came in. I mean, this is Manhattan. This is dark, dark blue.
Well, apparently, according to BLM, the panel was light white.
Oh.
So that's the jury pool.
It was
so
a tainted jury.
Pale face, I think, is the appropriate. I'm just saying. So anyway, good for. But look, at the end of the day, folks, if he had been convicted, I just don't know if there would have been any more Good Samaritans left in New York City. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And I would have been willing to wager. I was prepared in the event they found the guy guilty, that he would have been the very first person Donald Trump pardons.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, could we have kept him out of jail for that long? And that's the thing. You know who needs to go to jail is Alvin Bragg. Mm-hmm. The district attorney.
Yeah.
Fat Alvin.
He's had a rough year, hasn't he?
Well, not around the waistline he has.
No,
he's
no.
been chowing down on some Big Macs.
Well, isn't it? I mean, they set up the scenario in which this would happen.
Yeah.
This vigilantism that they speak so horribly about. They're the ones that created the lawlessness in the land. Now they're screaming about it.
And now they're portraying Jordan. Oh, he was such a sweet boy.
Michael Jackson.
He was a Michael Jackson. Oh, he was a Michael Jackson. Oh, you mean the child predator Michael Jackson?
Just beat it.
Well, that's the allegation.
Yeah, he beat a woman's skull in.
Yeah. Oh, I was talking about Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Oh, but yes. Okay, let's go to Mike in Maine, WLOB. All right, Mike, what say you?
What's going on down there in the home of the blues? Oh,
the booze or the blues?
Well, both. If you get the Beale Street, both
it's,
of them.
It's, yes. It's noon o'clock somewhere, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Listen, Daniel Perry did exactly what he was trained to do. He's a United States Marine. And I can give witness to this because I'm a retired gunnery sergeant. I trained a lot of Marines in my life. Now, if you watch the video, he's assessing the situation. Are any of the other people on the train with this crazy guy? Does the crazy guy have a weapon? Once he realizes that he's not armed, he knows it's to take him down in the spring in action. Move to action. Move to the target. And that's exactly what he did. So this guy hasn't been out of the Marine Corps that long. So all that we instill with them stays with them the rest of their life, but especially when they haven't been out that long. So he did what he was trained to do. He evaluated the situation, made sure no one else around him would get hurt. That's why you check for the weapon. You don't want a gun going off in a train car. So basically, once he realized there was no threat like that, there may be a knife. So he moved to the target, and he did what he was trained to do.
He,
why in the hell nobody's brought this up, I don't know.
He deserves our nation, one of our nation's highest medals of honor for what he did there, because that really is the nature of being heroic. I know the kid doesn't consider himself to be a hero. He's a Marine. But his actions were, in fact, heroic that day. And Mike, God bless the other two gentlemen on that train who came to help. And those were gentlemen of color as well. So, again, they're trying to make this about race. But I think the American people are smart here. They see this had nothing to do with race. And you've got every minority, that was every single one of them, Mike, on that train saying, oh, yeah, he did the right thing. We're glad Whitey was there.
Well, you know, I think after this overwhelming defeat by Trump, the race card is all they have left.
That's it. And it's old. I mean, we'll open this up to the listeners, Mike. I just don't think that race card works anymore. I think people are over that.
Yeah, I sure do. I think so, too. Right. They had enough in the 20 riots, you know.
I hear you.
Half our country.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, Mike, hang in there. God bless, and a Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. By the way, if you haven't been over to the website, our team doing a little renovation, and now you can go directly to our website if you want to download our app, and I encourage you to do that, especially, all of our listeners, but our listeners especially in Maine. Be sure to download our free app. You'll be able to listen to the Todd Stearns Show wherever you are in the country. Again, go to toddstearns.com and click on the app at the top of the page. We'll be right back, folks.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
By the way, want to give a big shout out and congratulations to Ben Dieter, one of the runners, the 22,000 runners in the St. Jude Marathon weekend, raised, what, $16 million? For kids. You know, if a kid goes to St. Jude, the parents never get a bill. Everything's taken care of. They'll even house the parents, the family. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. But Ben Dieter, you ran the 10K, and I'll be doggone if you didn't come in first place.
I would not come into work if I wasn't in first. That's
wow.
What we, excellence and effort. That's the mantra here at Starnes Media Group. Not only do we come in number one in ratings always, but we also win with races as well. It was a fast race, and I won.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do they give you cash or anything?
I think so.
Well, you should
give that to the children.
Give that to the children.
Give it to the children.
Don't take any money from the children. So, but they gave you a nice medal.
Yeah, and wrap me up in the finish line, the swag and whatnot. It was crazy.
So you got to, like, break through the banner and everything.
It's what I'll look like when I get into heaven.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what it's going to look like.
I'm here, boys.
St. Peter, open up those gates.
Right. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to a good friend, Congressman John Rose, representing Tennessee 6th Congressional District. Congressman, good to have you on the show today.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. Congressman, exciting news. And I think the most exciting part of the new administration is going to be the DOGE. I know that you guys met with Elon and Vivek Ramaswamy a few days ago. What's your takeaway? Are we going to be able to get this done?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think we've got two great American business leaders who have firsthand experience doing this in the private sector, and government sometimes more difficult to navigate, perhaps. But I feel optimistic we've got two of the best people in the world that could make some progress here. I think Congress is certainly ready to do that, at least on the Republican side, and I think the president is determined. So, and for goodness sakes, we know as a country, if we care about the future of this nation, we've got to get our spending under control, and to the greatest extent we can do that on the basis of cutting and becoming more efficient, I think all the better for America's future.
You know, Congressman Chip Roy was on the show last week, and he said the biggest problem, though, and he said he got up and spoke to all you guys and said the biggest problem is all of the people in this room. You know, the question is, are we going to be able to go back and tell our districts no more pork barrel spending? Is that going to be a problem?
Well, that's always the challenge. You know, one person's pork barrel spending is another person's critical need for their district, and so that always is going to come up. I think the trick here is going to be finding broad consensus where everyone is feeling the pain and it spread fairly and evenly across the spectrum, and then I think it becomes easier for folks to rationalize that it's the right thing to do. You know, there's lots of grandstanding on these issues from time to time, and so we've got to sort through those things. And I think that's why having folks, of course, you know, I come from industry and you know, I've had to make payroll and balance the budget and make sure that we could make ends meet. And that's true for most Americans. It's true for all of American business. You have to make those things work out. It's only the federal government that seems to have this bottomless pit that they can pull out money out of. And of course, the end result for that is declining America and a great burden on future generations.
And of course, as a small business owner myself, I want to petition you, Congressman. We got to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You know, I'm tired of my money that I'm earning, you know, owning a radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, going to pay for my competitors' bills. It never has made any sense to me.
Well, and of course, we see then that they're not responsive to their listeners and to the country as a whole when they're drawing that money out of the public treasury and to you know, advance ideas that oftentimes are at odds with what the people in communities across this country feel. So I completely agree with you about that.
All right, Congressman, real quick, I know you've been all over the tariff situation. Is it going to hurt farmers? Will it hurt workers?
Well, I think that's a little bit of a complicated picture, but I think what the president is advancing is the idea that we have to demand fair and balanced trade with our trading partners around the world. And in the post-World War II era, we've allowed this country and our workers to be abused by the rest of the world. And so I think President Trump recognizes that. I think he's determined to do that. Sometimes to get to a good outcome, you have to experience a little pain. You certainly have to be willing to drive a hard bargain, and I think the president is a master of that. So I think there will be some pain for ag country. We're experiencing that already, frankly. The president showed in his first term a willingness to use the proceeds from those tariffs to help make farmers whole, and I think you'll see him propose to do that again if it becomes necessary. But we just can't continue to let China take our jobs and dominate industries and drive our American businesses out. And we are experiencing that right now with one of the important industries that's important to West Tennessee, but it's also important to my district over in Middle Tennessee, and that's the porcelain tile business, where we have, in this case, India, not China, that is dumping low-cost subsidized tile into the U.S. market and driving some of our U.S.-based tile manufacturers out of business, making it difficult for them to be successful. And so I'm glad we've got a president who understands the need to drive hard bargains and protect our industry and protect our workers here at home in the United States.
Well said. And again, a large part of that is just unshackling our farmers. I mean, the rules and regulations that they have to follow, Congressman, and I know that you guys are going to have a lot to look at. But I say let's unleash America's farmers, and, you know, they've got a hard enough job without the government on their back.
That's absolutely true. You know, for the first time in my lifetime here during the Biden administration, we've seen the U.S. become a net importer of agricultural commodities and food, and that's just unacceptable. We can't continue to do that. It's a ridiculous situation, and it's happened because President Biden has been unwilling to use the, you know, the bully pulpit of the presidency to advocate for American farmers. And I'm glad that we've got a president coming on January 20th who's proven that he can do that and will do that.
Yep.
We need to defend our farmers and defend their markets and open new markets for farmers all across our country.
And Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. I know we've got a lot of farmers listening right now on their tractors all over America, and they're going to be excited to hear that news. Congressman, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Folks, hang tight. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a 70-year-old man. I'm not a young guy, and I'm an ex-athlete. Well, yeah, when I was taking it, I recognized that I was feeling better, you know what I'm saying? And just mentally knowing is important also.
I am a customer of you guys. I love your product. Love it, love it. Nothing but good things to say about your product. I love it.
And as long as y'all are going to sell it, I'm going to take it as long as I can.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. So, by the way, these wildfires out in California, you've been following this story. So about 1 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, these huge fires erupted, and no, we don't know how they were started. Sorry, Dieter, we're working. No, I don't think it was the aliens. That's in New Jersey. So you've got these wildfires that just exploded in Malibu, and the fires crossed over the Pacific Coast Highway. Pepperdine University is in jeopardy, and the folks at Pepperdine basically told the students, everybody's evacuating except for the students at Pepperdine, because they're saying, hey, look, we built our buildings to withstand these firestorms, so our kids are safe in the library, surrounded by all the hardcover and paperback books. Hashtag kindling. But anyway, a bad situation there. Also, over the weekend, President Biden, commemorating a very important moment in American history. No, not the day that will live in infamy. No. He was commemorating Pansexual and Panromantic Pride Day, which is now a thing. The Department of Health and Human Services declaring Sunday as Pansexual and Panromantic Pride Day. They say everyone deserves to feel seen, respected, and supported, no matter who they love. Create a world where everyone feels proud to be themselves. And we believe in tolerance and diversity here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So therefore, if you find yourself attracted to a cast iron skillet or a griddle, it is your day to celebrate. Now, my concern here is the intolerance within the Department of Health and Human Services. And that's because their statement was not all that inclusive of the kitchenware kink community. For example, they did not. What's wrong, Dieter? They did not take into account other cooking utensils that might not be pans, but actually identify as a pot or a pan, for example, a crock pot, if you will, or the new air fryers. Would that be a I'm sorry, I can't say that. just a lot of air, a lot of blowing of air. So anyway, there you go. It does remind me of an old country song. Some of you old timers out there, you might remember this song. Get off the stove, Granny. You're too old to ride the range. So you have that going on.
Yeah. Can I just add, yes. January 20th cannot come quick enough. What?
I
of all the sexuals, I had no idea until your column on your website that was an actual thing.
It's a thing.
Can you repeat the name of that one more time?
Pansexuals.
Pansexual. Did you ever get to the bottom of what that action? Because it's surely not about your favorite skillet.
No, it's not.
Actually, I love a cast iron skillet, by the way.
You got to be careful. Okay. We have to stay focused on this, or I could get in trouble here. It has something to do with whether or not it's really the definition of bisexuality is what pansexuality is. However, there is a component of this which sort of segues and morphs into pedophilia. So it's a pretty nasty thing that's going on. And again, we have seen this. I don't want to get into that conversation today, but there is an effort to normalize the pedophilia in this country. We've got to talk about the parade in Alabama. And this is just a weird story. And we told you about this last week, that a gay pride group in Prattville, Alabama, was wanting to march in the annual Christmas parade. So the city finally said no because all the churches rose up. And I want to say what I love about this story is who rose up. It wasn't the evangelical churches. It was the Catholic church in town. They're the ones who were fighting the good fight here. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but there's something going on within the Catholic community. People are rising up, and the conservatives who are Catholics are rising up, and their churches are really getting engaged in the culture. Meanwhile, on the evangelical side, we're still working through the, the American Idol cover band stage of our existence. Is that fair?
Yes. Statement?
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. So anyway, a federal judge came in and said late Friday, No. You have to. He told the good church-going people of Prattville, Alabama, you got to let the drag queens participate in the Christmas parade. Because apparently getting an entire month to celebrate is no longer good enough. And now they're shoving the baby Jesus out of the manger so they can do God knows what. Lord, help the sheep. So anyway, they let the drag queens parade over the weekend. And they accuse the city of bowing to the pressure of the extremist and hecklers. For all you Christians out there, you're extremist and hecklers. And the drag queens were invited to, they were invited to parade, and they handed out candy to children along the parade route. Nothing creepy about that. Nothing creepy at all. So anyway, there you go. The lawsuit has been filed, and it's going to continue because now the gay pride group says that their rights have been violated, and they have a right to march in whatever parade they want to march in. Now, here's the thing about this judge, Austin Huffaker. He is a Trump appointee to the bench, and he's the guy that sided with the gays. It's really not the gays. It's the trans. And the judge says, while there are areas of unprotected speech, such as incitement of violence, the city makes no argument and provides no evidence that Prattville Pride has engaged in any speech or behavior that would remotely fall into an unprotected speech category. So therefore, they said the city violated the law by not letting the gays parade in the Christmas event. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 1819 News says that there was a much smaller crowd at the parade, so a lot of families kept their children home. Father Dan Irwin of St. Joseph's Catholic Church told the Alabama Political Reporter that we're not doing that. Yeah, we're not going to be. We don't want to be behind the gay pride
flag.
They were
adding extra wise men, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
they were adding a couple other.
It wasn't so much the wise men as it was the throuple.
I mean, here's the crazy thing. You would have to explain, Christmas is already such a fun, it's the most exciting time of the year. Everybody knows that. You have elves, you have Mrs. Claus, you have Santa, you have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and then you have a cast of characters trailing behind them. I mean, you then have to ask to those parents, do you start adding these characters to A Christmas Story, to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? I mean, make it make sense, because they don't fit into any Christmas story, whether that be the Nutcracker to the Christmas Story.
I heard they had Santa on the gay pride float.
Oh, okay.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, boys. Ho, ho, ho.
Man, you're right. It's like, it's December, Todd.
Okay. Can't you just hold off till June? You got a whole freaking month.
Yeah.
What? What's up next?
What is it? Christmas in June? No, Christmas in July. Give them a Christmas parade in June. We'll give them a parade. They can do all of the frosty, the snowman things they want to do.
Jeez-a-loo. All right, there you go. I will say this though again, and this is the point, and this is an important point. I don't think the Christians would do this because Christians just don't do this. But that federal judge basically opens the door now for the gay pride group to have to accept every Christian, every anti-gay group in America should petition to march in the Prattville Pride Parade. And when people complain, you throw it right back at them.
Yep.
First Amendment.
The Moms for Liberty, they should have a float in the Pride Parade.
Gays against grooming.
Yeah.
Get them out there.
I wonder if we could get them afloat.
The Log Cabin Republicans. Get everybody out there. That's what I would. I mean, again, if you're going to talk about the First Amendment, all right, we can have that conversation. So anyway, it's sad because ultimately this was not about Jesus. This was about the LGBT movement moving in and taking over Christmas now. And we know that because they said they plan to make the Prattville Christmas Parade in Alabama the gayest ever. 901-260-5926. Did the judge do the right thing by saying, yeah, we got to let these people march? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z's.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
And Cheney was behind it. Well, and so was Benny Thompson and everybody on that committee.
We're going to...
For what they did,
yeah.
Honestly, they should go to jail.
So you think Liz Cheney should go to jail?
For what
everyone
they did...
Everyone on the committee, you think
I think everybody...
On the,
anybody that voted in favor...
Are you going to direct your FBI director and your attorney general to send them to jail?
No, not at all. I think that they'll have to look at that, but I'm not going to... I'm going to focus on drill, baby, drill.
All right, that was President Trump sitting down with NBC News. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend Liz Peek has a terrific column up on Fox News. Trump just outfoxed Biden and his corrupt family again. Liz, good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I always enjoy these conversations.
All right, so how did he do it? How did Trump outfox Biden?
Well, look, when Kristen Welker harassed Donald Trump in that Meet the Press interview several times. Are you going to press charges? Are you going to go after Joe Biden? Are you going to try and imprison Liz Cheney, et cetera, et cetera? He very neatly deflected and said, no, I'm focused on making our country great again, being successful. That is my retribution. He has said that over and over again, and I believe him. But He left the door open, of course, to Kash Patel, Pam Bondi, going after people who've broken the law. I think he's clear he's not going to engage in the kind of lawfare that the Biden White House has done, prosecuting and persecuting, obviously, Donald Trump and other political enemies. But he is going to let his picks for head of the FBI and for attorney general sort of lead where they should go. I mean, if they see something criminal having taken place, they should pursue that. But the reason this kind of knocked Joe Biden out of the box is there has been this ridiculous idea circulating, put out, of course, by the White House to Politico, that there might be blanket pardons issued for all kinds of political adversaries of Donald Trump, people who, like Liz Cheney, served on the J6 committee, people like Adam Schiff, who have lied repeatedly about and played a major role in perpetrating the Russiagate hoax, et cetera. And the idea was that these blanket pardons would protect them from the vengeance of the Trump White House, even though it's been pretty clear that there is no vengeance unless there really is wrongdoing, even though Democrats keep saying, no, we didn't do anything wrong. So what I think is that whole thing was a smokescreen, that Joe Biden basically wants to issue more pardons for family members caught up in and participating and benefiting from the money laundering, alleged money laundering, influence peddling of Hunter Biden, activities that Joe Biden was well aware of, even though he lied about it persistently, that he took advantage of and received money from. I think this whole corrupt Biden enterprise is going to be unraveled. And I think he is scared to death that not only Jim Biden, Hallie Biden, other people we know took money from Hunter's activities, but also Joe himself could get into trouble. My view is he wanted to bury those pardons amongst layers of other people. And so the media and the American people really wouldn't see what he's doing. But, you know, I think Donald Trump made it clear that he can't do that.
Liz, I'm all about body language, and I saw the First Lady, Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden, in France at Notre Dame. She and President Trump seemed to be having a very pleasant conversation. Fast forward to the other night at the Kennedy Center when the First Lady refused to even look at the Vice President, Kamala Harris. And I'm wondering, are you hearing about bad blood between the two?
Well, there have been indications of that. This isn't the first time that the two parties have totally ignored each other. And so I'm not totally surprised by that. Look, who does Joe Biden blame for undermining his run, his second campaign? Probably Nancy Pelosi, probably Barack Obama. I think probably also Kamala Harris. He should be grateful to Kamala Harris that she never blew the whistle on his declining mental acuity for the 3.5 years that they happily coexisted in the White House. I mean, at any point, she could have leaked a lot of damaging stuff. And you got to say, I really find this a disgusting White House on so many fronts, but they have been tight as a drum in terms of telling the American people through leaks who is really running the country, how is Joe Biden really performing in his office, et cetera. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff, Todd, and you know it and I know it, that's gone on in that White House that's pretty nefarious, and we don't know about it.
So, oh, yeah.
You know, good for them. I admire that because I didn't like the first term of Donald Trump when people were leaking like a sieve constantly. But the bad blood between Kamala and then, of course, Joe Biden taps Kamala Harris right away as maybe a middle finger to Barack Obama to be the nominee and to run in his stead, and she loses. So, you know, did he help her much in that campaign? I don't think so. I mean, did she ask him to help and do more? I don't know. But, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that relationship may be on ice, that you certainly haven't seen any indication of social activity between the two. So I think it's quite possible that there is bad blood. And boy, there's a lot of recriminations here on all sides to foster that kind of bad blood.
Well, I've got about 30 seconds here, Liz, but watching what they're doing, giving all this money, billions more to Ukraine, it's almost like the Clintons when they were loading up the White House furniture into the U-Haul before they got out of town. I mean, they are leaving President Trump a giant mess that he's going to have to clean up.
Well, they are. And by the way, you know, shoveling money out the door that's left over from things like the Inflation Reduction Act, that's probably a scandal in and of itself. If we look over the next 2-3 weeks and over the past 2 or 3 weeks to see who got billions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars from that Inflation Reduction Act and sort of this panic move that they're engaged in, it'll be very revealing. And I think probably there's a big story there.
All right. Liz Peek, everybody. Great Fox News contributor. Read her columns. You can also find her over at thehill.com as well. Liz, hope you and your family have a Merry Christmas.
And you too. Thank you very much.
All right. Great lady right there, folks. Great writer too. Wow. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Robin Poffman coming up in just a little while. That's going to be a lot of fun. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I love the product because I'm already here at almost 80 knocking on my door. When I started taking Balance of Nature, I'm telling you, it wasn't a month after that, maybe 2 months after that, I started really feeling the difference.
I love Balance of Nature. I will take it to the day I die. It's wonderful. I feel so much better. I'm telling everybody about it. And I just feel better. I mean, it's just amazing how much better I feel on this stuff. I got excited about the product because I started feeling better. They asked me, does it work? I said, yes, it works. You got to try it. It will work.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
Whole Foods the other day, and Dieter, I did it again.
Hold up. Mm-hmm. What's happening?
Well,
you went to Kroger. You went to Piggly Wiggly.
We don't have a Piggly Wiggly in Memphis anymore.
This is very disappointing. Is giving very woke.
Well, no.
This is the holiday.
The problem is I've been trying to eat more salads, and so I've been going to the Kroger, and the produce has not been all that great. It's like rotted. I don't want to get too terribly gross here, so I thought, you know what, I'll go over to the Whole Foods, and I walked in again with my MAGA hat, and this is fascinating. I didn't even get my little cart into the door before a guy comes rushing over. He goes, man, I love that hat. Give me the big thumbs up. And I said, I gave him a thumbs up back, and he wanted to like talk politics. And so we're literally, people are having to walk through us to get into, we're right there at the entrance. And we're talking Trump politics right there at the Whole Foods.
Wow. Even in Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, something is happening in this country.
Beautiful.
I felt so convicted. I didn't park in the electric car parking spot. I actually parked in the regular people.
Get Todd a tissue. He's getting emotional.
Got a little misty. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Robin Poffman joins us. Robin, I'm trying to cause problems at the Whole Foods.
What is going on? I did a 5K in Hilton Head, South Carolina, a 5K race, and I wore Trump leggings, you know, like runners leggings that say Trump on them. And if I would have had 100 pairs, I could have sold them all.
Wow. There you go, Dieter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could have, of course, yours would have spelled rump. So you got to make sure you get the T on there. So
wow, this is crazy. Robin, they were that popular. That's something. How'd you do in the 5K? I'm a runner too, Robin. So sometime we're going to have to do a 5K together.
Yeah, I had a whole look going on. I'll have to find a picture.
I love it.
Yeah.
Robin, all that to say, there is something going on in the country, I think, and we're gonna jump into the crazy news in just a moment. But are you sensing that where you are in the Atlanta area, that there's a change? People feel more joyful, more hopeful?
100%. And you know, I feel that even, you know, some of the Republican clubs that were, you know, having their meetings in secret in, you know, people's houses, and, you know, people are just, you know, feeling better about the country. I was in the Northeast over the weekend, the last couple of days, in the New York, New Jersey area. People have a different attitude. And I was in an Uber yesterday coming back in the Atlanta area, and the driver wanted to talk to me about, you know, job opportunities and isn't it going to be better under Trump and all of this and all of that. And there is definitely a sense among all people, whether you're, you know, in a minimum wage job or a way bigger job, that there's going to be more opportunities for people all across the board.
By the way, speaking of, trust me, we're going to get to the topic we're talking about. I forgot you were in Jersey. Did you see any of the UFOs?
I did not, but, you know, they were over some friends and family's homes, and it's extremely concerning, to say the least. I'd like to know who's behind it. I don't have a lot of confidence in the governor of New Jersey. I don't know what his problem is. Murphy, he's a Democrat. He's been weak on a lot of issues. I saw some local news, New York City news up there the other night, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to call Alejandro Mayorkas, Homeland Security in Washington, and get help. And I'm thinking Alejandro Mayorkas let in 20-plus million illegal aliens in the last 4 years. It's not going to help you, man.
No,
you know, like, that's what I was thinking. You know, this is not who you call.
Robin, they can't stop the illegal earthlings from coming into America, much less creatures from another planet. That's my concern. But I don't want to disparage your birthplace, but why New Jersey? I just don't. Why are the aliens attracted to New Jersey?
I think that there's some potential evil deeds going on. You have military bases in New Jersey. You have you have two Trump properties there, the golf course in the Mendham area, Bedminster, and then you have one in the south in the Atlantic City area. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in New Jersey. You have, you know this, Todd, that after September 11th, a lot of the equipment, especially, you know, some of the phone companies, TV stations and such, a lot of that equipment is run in sensitive areas of New Jersey and was removed from New York City, if you'll remember that. The Federal Reserve moved money, and, you know, our Treasury moved money out of New York City, Lower Manhattan, into New Jersey. I don't want to say where, but it's there. It was there. So there's a lot of things in New Jersey that could be potentially problematic if disturbed or destroyed. Let's put it that way.
Robin Poffman on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Robin, we are just now getting new details about Luigi Mangione. CBS News got their hands on a 3-page handwritten note. And I mean, it looks like this guy was gunning for somebody in the healthcare industry, writing a lot of stuff about how it was a mafioso. He was really upset with how expensive the healthcare system is. What's your take on this guy? And now they're treating him like he's some sort of a heartthrob in the media.
Well, you know, he's got kind of like an interesting look. I mean, he's, you know, he's not a bad looking man, but this guy's a murderer. And you have all these kind of crazy psychos out there, you know, that write letters to, you know, famous people in prison. Scott Peterson in California comes to mind, who murdered his wife and unborn son, and they become like folk heroes. It's a real disease. It's a mental illness. And this kid is, he's only 26 years old. He's mentally ill. I remember looking at his eyes in the picture like everyone else from the frame grabs that the police put out. And I remember saying to my husband, wow, this guy's going to be under 30. He looks very young to me. He had a very young look. And sure enough, he is. But in the last 6 months, his family, very well-to-do, well-off people, have been looking for him. He was valedictorian in his class in high school. He went to the University of Pennsylvania, Ivy League in the Philly area. It's incredible to me that some people are saying, well, he was 26 and maybe fell off his family's insurance policy under the Obamacare law. And maybe he didn't have the money to get it. He had some sort of back injury, possibly, and it didn't have insurance, or the insurance got denied. It seems pretty improbable to me that the funds weren't there from the grandparents that own country clubs and hotels. None of it adds up for me. And then what I really am curious about is, how did he know this guy's schedule?
Exactly.
That, to me, that's the real nugget. Like, you know, there's a lot that can be said about his looks and, you know, people reaching out to him and all these other kind of ancillary things. But you don't know somebody's schedule. And Todd, if I call you up and I say, hey, what's your schedule for the inauguration? What hotel are you staying at? What time are you leaving to go to have lunch? Then I know your schedule. But how does anybody know anybody else's schedule? Unless you have direct involvement, let alone him, this guy being a CEO, and the odds of him not walking around with any kind of security. He went into the side door of the Hilton, not the front door. I don't know. The whole thing just is really fishy to me.
It's there is so much that we do not know. And I know the conspiracy theories are already starting. But there's just something not right about this guy. And I want to know, where did he get weaponized? Where did there was maybe radicalized with these ideas of hating insurance companies, hating these corporations? Is that something that he learned through his education process? Because when you know, I watched his valedictorian address, Robin, and the guy sounded pretty normal, and he almost sounded like he came from a conservative Republican family, which he did.
Right, and he has some sort of, is it his cousin or his uncle or some relative who's a conservative representative in the state of Maryland, I read.
Yeah.
Who's like a distant relative of his. So something happened to this person, whether, again, there was something on his social media that showed like an X-ray of his back. But again, I go back to the fact that if you didn't have insurance is one thing. If you don't come from money or didn't, you know, even if you don't come from money, you know, you appeal to a relative maybe for a loan to get the surgery you need. But this is not the case. This is someone who's coming from a big time, well-to-do family with an Ivy League education. And he snapped. Something happened to him. And there's a lot we just don't know. And to me, the thing that bugs me the most, Todd, and you know I've been covering crime for 35 years, is how did he know what door the guy was walking in on at that hotel? You and I have been to that Hilton Hotel on 6th Avenue. It's right up the street from Fox News. It's right across from the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. It's a huge place, and it has various entrances and exits. And he was not walking through the front door. He was walking through the side door. So none of it makes any sense to me. And you're gonna sit out there all night long and then shoot someone in Midtown Manhattan at 6:45. And the CEO, Brian Thompson, who's deceased, Todd, he was in New York since Monday. I still would love to hear about who he was with and his whereabouts and what he did Monday and Tuesday before he was shot and killed on Wednesday. Did they have any interaction? Did he know him in some way? Again, lots of questions.
Robin, we're gonna be following up on this case. This is a weird one, and I know you love these kinds of stories, digging and doing a deep dive. So we'll check back with you soon.
Sounds great. Happy early Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays to you, Robin Poffman. We love you.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. Take care. The great Robin Poffman, everybody.
She's great. She's like a private eye.
When she
starts talking, I was doing some emails, and then Robin started sleuthing, and I had to drop what I was doing and pull up a chair. It's interesting. She's great.
I'm curious to know how he knew the CEO.
How do you get four IDs
by
26? Who's giving you those IDs?
Well, somebody was giving him some. It sounds there's probably I would not be surprised if there is a conspiracy here to take out the CEO. I would be also looking at the living arrangements that he had with the people in Hawaii, the co-living arrangement, and the former roommate said, "Oh yeah, we have a very serious application process you have to go through."
Mm-hmm.
That's all very, very strange.
Well, and then also, I would like to know where, again, he was taught how to make a 40 gun. Like, he used a 40 printer to create this gun. Now, it was interesting because they said that, well, maybe it was just because he was playing violent video games. I know NBC had a piece, and it was the college roommate that attended college with Luigi, and he said, well, this is no surprise. Well, I'm shocked, but at the same time, he played these video game killer type of scary games. I mean, it all is just not making any sense. But here's what they did find. They found a motive well before they found the motive of what would have been the assailant in the Trump assassination. Don't you find that interesting? We know more about Luigi than we ever do about the person that put a bullet through the ear of our president.
And that's because the people that ultimately were responsible for that probably work in Langley, Virginia. Mm. I'll just leave it there. But we are going to get to the bottom of that. That's not going to happen until Trump becomes president. But you're right. We don't know anything about the two assassins that tried to kill Donald Trump. But we know everything there is to know about Luigi.
Sounds like a Mario character.
You know,
the name is just very...
Well, if you take his eyebrows and put them under his nose, you got
Mario and Luigi.
That's it. You could tell him the eyebrows. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, big news. Rob Schmidt is cleaning CNN's clock in the ratings. Unbelievable. Newsmax's number one host, Rob Schmidt, has a bigger audience than CNN during any hour of the day. Millions of people are now making the switch to Newsmax, getting real facts, no BS, no spin, just the truth. Among the viewers, by the way, President Trump, and you should too. Rob Schmidt and Newsmax are now on all the major cable systems. YouTube TV just included us, just added us. And by the way, if your cable system doesn't carry Newsmax, you need to change cable systems. And we can help you do that. Go to getnewsmax.com. They're going to help you find a new carrier. That's getnewsmax.com. Are you ready for this? 40 million Americans now watching Newsmax. That's pretty impressive. Getnewsmax.com. So over the weekend, I went over to see a very cool, clever thing. It's called the Living Nativity. This was in Germantown at the Germantown Baptist Church. And Dieter, you came along, and I really wanted to be there to try this hot Dr. Pepper they're talking about. And it was pretty darn good.
You were very skeptical.
I was. I like my Dr. Pepper, but I like it ice cold.
Yeah. It was hot.
And they put a little lemon in it. And they put the lemon, and then they pour the hot Dr. Pepper. And I can't really describe it, except it tastes pretty darn good, if any of you have had it. But anyway, they recreated a Bethlehem village, and they had a presentation of the Christmas story. They had camels. They had three camels.
Larger than life camels.
And they also had other barnyard animals.
Oh, yeah. One bit me. One of the animals at the manger scene attacked me. Drew my blood.
You know what it was? They could taste the hot Dr. Pepper and the popcorn. And they were wanting a snack.
Yeah. Well, I was on my way to find, you know, Jesus lying in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I didn't even get there because I basically stopped short of going to urgent care.
It drew blood.
Yeah. It was a goat.
Are you sure? I thought it was a sheep.
No, I think it was a goat. See, I don't remember that being part of the Luke 2 story, but it was in this case, and it was a hungry little goat. You saw the blood. I showed it to you.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You don't stick your fingers in the animal's mouth. That I think that may have been the problem.
I was feeding it. I just didn't have any food.
Yes, you were feeding it. It was eating your finger.
I'm not suing the church.
Good Lord, man. Yeah. I will say this. What a wonderful thing. They had thousands of people come out to the weekend event, and it's just it was for the kids, and it was so well done. And by the way, Jack Parnell, who's a great, great legend in the broadcasting world in Memphis, was the he did all the narration. So it was he's gone on to be with the Lord, but his voice lives on at the Germantown Living Nativity. His son, by the way, Chris Parnell, so great actor. All right, hang tight, folks. Hour two anyway. Congratulations to the folks at Germantown Baptist Church and churches all over America that are celebrating the reason for the season. Hour three coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starks.
All right. I don't like to say I told you so all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, welcome to the Todd Starks radio program, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. In the first hour, I told you, do not be surprised if you have authorities out there concerned that Luigi Mangione may inspire others to act in a very similar manner. This reporting now from CBS News, intelligence officers believe the suspect's grievances about United Healthcare and other insurance companies are what motivated the murder. They also believe he was inspired by the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, and police are now concerned there is a risk that a wide range of extremists may view Mangione as an example to follow. Now, just moments ago, he was hauled in for a hearing in Pennsylvania, and you're about to hear his voice. Mangione was actually screaming at reporters as he was being let in. Let's take a listen.
Down, down.
Luigi, as completely out of touch, as an insult to the intelligence of the American people and lived experience.
All right, he's yelling about our lived experience. I'm telling you, I think he got radicalized at university. That's where I think that happened. All right, 901-260-5926. Luigi struggled with police as if he was trying to get out of their custody. It took two of the four officers to corral him and lead him into the building. But what he said was it is completely out of touch and an insult to the intelligence of the American people. And then talked about our lived experience. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. I want to welcome into the conversation New York City Councilwoman Joanne Areola. And Joanne, good to have you on the radio show. We had you on my Newsmax TV show a few days ago, and we appreciate you joining us today. Hello, Joanne. All right. Well, we'll try to get Joanne back with us. But again, Joanne Areola is a New York City councilwoman. She represents the Bronx. All right, councilwoman, I think we got you back with us.
Yes, I am back on, and I'm happy to be on. And I just want to correct you. I represent Queens.
Queens. My apologies, Queens.
No worries.
There is a big difference between the Bronx and Queens. So I want to get your reaction, first of all, to this breaking news. We've got the guy in custody, this guy who gunned down the United Healthcare CEO. Are you concerned that there may be others out there wanting to take out some of these CEOs?
Well, there's always the concern with copycats. So, you know, that's something that law enforcement will address. But I think that this was someone who obviously had some type of grievance, but also mental illness that, you know, coupled together caused him to do something that was, you know, and was extreme, taking the life of the CEO of the company that he had grievances with, if that's in fact the case. This is developing as we speak. So I think there'll be a few different scenarios as to why eventually the truth will come out. But no one who is of clear thinking and does not have mental illness would pull something like this off.
What I find fascinating is the number of people that look at this guy like he's some sort of a hero. Meanwhile, you've got poor Daniel Kelly and or Penny, rather, and they're portraying Daniel Penny as some sort of a vigilante. I love what Scott Jennings did last night on CNN. He said, here's the primer, folks. Daniel Penny, good guy. Luigi is a bad guy. I mean, it's really that simple.
Well, what Luigi did was gun a man down in cold blood. It was premeditated. And he allegedly has committed murder, premeditated murder. What happened with Daniel Penny was happenstance. He was on the train heading home from classes. He was put in a situation where lives were in danger, and he stepped up when no one else would. That's the difference.
You know, what do you make of Black Lives Matter last night? They were calling for black vigilantes to rise up and target white people there in New York City. There's a lot of racially charged language coming from Black Lives Matter after the verdict yesterday.
I think that people are sick and tired of anyone who is protesting, whether, you know, it was pro-Palestine or Black Lives Matter. It's just not going to be tolerated. The NYPD is not going to tolerate it. They're going to keep this city safe. And if it means, you know, arresting people that are making outward threats against anyone, they're going to be taken in and they're going to be questioned. And if it is legitimate threat, then they're going to be detained. I mean, the time for our city being under siege of people who are just zealots and extremists are over.
Do you think that's really moved the needle and maybe has opened a lot of people's eyes, all the thousands of illegals? I mean, we're hearing just astronomical numbers of illegals that are now living in the New York City area. Do you think that's moved the needle and people are really starting to reconsider, you know, why do I keep voting for this particular party?
It absolutely did, and November 5th was the proof of that. You know, it moved the needle. And also, I think that with the new administration coming in and what President-elect Trump is doing prior to being sworn in is really making people feel that they will finally be safe, that they'll finally be heard, that this nonsense of illegal immigration and open borders will finally be ceased. We're already seeing changes here in the city of New York with base camps for migrant shelters, especially the one at Floyd Bennett Field being closed. Notification for closure is for January 15th. We've been fighting for that from the day it opened. But I think they realize that a new administration is coming in. There will be new rules. I'm looking forward to a meeting next week with Tom Homan. He's coming to City Hall, meeting with the Common Sense Caucus. I think that because we have an administration that's going to now fight for Americans, work to end this sanctuary state debacle and the right to shelter designation for cities that is not being used as intended for New Yorkers who are homeless and has been now morphed into, you know, giving housing and entitlements to people who have illegally entered our borders. I think we're going to see a lot of that, you know, being pulled back and a lot of resources being returned to the rightful people of New York City and New York State for essential services and quality of life.
What's your take on the mayor here? You know, he was a Republican many years ago. He's thinking about becoming a Republican again. And it seems as though he's pretty open to being a friend to President Trump, especially when it comes to the deportation issues.
The mayor from almost the start, you know, when the migrants began to arrive, it was a very welcoming climate, come, you know, your new Americans and such. But when we started to see 200,000, you know, migrants coming into a city that could not financially sustain it, and then we started to see crime rise, and we saw gangs coming from Venezuela and recruiting young people into those gangs, and buildings being taken over, and shootings of our police officers, and attacks on our citizens, and shoplifting, and all sorts of crimes rising. The mayor himself at a town hall said, the illegal migration into this city will destroy it. And when he looked to Washington for help, he didn't get it. When he looked to the state for help, he didn't get it. Now I think he's finally going to be able to enact the things that he wanted to do originally, because he does have an administration coming into office that is of the same feeling, Americans first. And if you want to come and migrate into this country and you want to seek asylum, you put in for your asylum at the border like everyone else did when they came in. You don't just come into this country and expect entitlements and money from taxpayers when taxpayers are suffering. And I think that the real impetus for him is to put this city back on track. And I know a lot of people have different opinions as to why he'd like to work with the new administration coming in, but why wouldn't he? He's the mayor of New York City. It behooves us to have a good relationship with the federal government,
yeah,
no matter who's sitting in the White House.
Well said. All right. By the way, do you know, just off the top of your head here, how many people are on the New York City Council?
We have 51.
51. All right. And how
51
many
members?
How many folks are in this Common Sense Caucus that you mentioned a few seconds ago?
We're 9 people in the Common Sense Caucus. We're 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats.
Love it.
Right now. Before that, there was only 4 before I got there, and then we were 6, and now we're 9. So we're growing, and we're seeing, since the past election, and since we've seen so many migrants coming into the city, and since we've seen such a decline in public safety and essential services, we're seeing a lot of moderate Democrats that may not have been so vocal in the past about common sense and utilizing it and voting in a certain way. We're seeing them really separate themselves from the progressives in the council. In fact, members left the Progressive Caucus just because the Progressive Caucus insisted that they sign a document stating that they wanted to further defund the police. And a number of members who were maybe left-leaning but not a DSA left the caucus. So, people are starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, any type of extremism is never good. So they're going more towards common sense, more towards moderation, more towards public safety, and more towards really providing essential services to their district.
You see, I love this, and I think this is going to be tremendous when this caucus, and I think your numbers are going to grow, and I think you guys are only going to become that much more influential. Joanne, I was watching some photos. A colleague, a Newsmax colleague, had to go up to New York City to the New York Bureau and was just taking pictures inside some of the the drugstores over on the east side. And everything's locked down. I mean, everything in the store is locked down. And I think people, by and large, are sick and tired of it, and they're looking to you guys on the city council to take action. And I think we're going to see some great things in New York City in the coming days.
Couldn't agree more, Todd. I don't want to have to ring a doorbell to get my deodorant. I want to be able to pluck it off the shelf and pay for it.
That's it. Yeah, nobody wants that. All right, City Councilwoman Joanne Arriola from the great, great area of Queens, New York. Joanne, God bless.
God bless you, too.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Great lady right there. And you know, Dieter, between her and Vicky Paladino, I don't think the Democrats have a shot.
There's a lot of common sense coming. And I think that's what was so interesting about that interview you just conducted, a common sense caucus, which even can pull in a Democrat.
And that's really, when you look at what the coalition that Donald Trump has built, it really is a common sense caucus. And a lot of the things that Trump wants to do are not necessarily Republican, not necessarily Democrat. You know, it's going to be a bit of compromise as we focus on common sense solutions to what's going on.
You would just wish that House Republicans could come up with another caucus. We love the Freedom Caucus, but there's not many in the Freedom Caucus. Could you expand? Because what margin is one vote.
One vote.
So can we get some of those common sense House members to join
the Democrats?
Yeah.
You need
a couple common sense Democrats. There's got to be some. There's what, 400 and some members.
There used to be conservative Democrats. I don't know that there are that many left at this point. I think that's how radicalized the Democrat Party has become. So, all right, guys, got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, it's before we go to break, I've got to tell you to head over to our website. We're making a lot of changes to the website, adding some new features, and I want you to check out our app. You've got to download our app. You know, a lot of radio stations around the country, especially the ones owned by big corporations, are getting rid of talk radio. So one of the ways that you can make sure you always have access is to download my app, and you'll have 24 hours of conservative talk and commentary right on your smartphone. You can also listen to it on your website as well. Again, toddstearns.com. Be sure to check that out. We'll be right back, folks.
Just in time for the holiday season, Presidential Records presents Pardon That Son of a Biden.
To remind you MAGA people that the presidential pardon has always been the American way. We've put together this collection of MAGA stuff.
Pardon me if I'm sentimental.
Hunter could have shot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue, and I would have done the thing.
Pardon me, boy.
Christmas is just around the corner, and so is my brother Jim's pardon.
I beg your pardon.
We've even got something for the kids.
Pardon me, please. Pardon me, please.
This Golden Platinum Collector's Edition is not available in stores, but you can get Pardon That Son of a Biden from Burisma executives, the mayor of Moscow, or any Chinese Communist Party member in good standing.
Yet another Paul Shanklin classic. Well done. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Glad to have you with us. You know, Dieter, I was listening to your morning show today, and I didn't realize there was such a huge controversy surrounding the Justice Department coming in, and they basically said that the Memphis Police Department is a racist organization. And I want to go on the record by saying the hardworking men and women of the Memphis Police Department are some of the finest men and women in uniform in our country. And what they have to put up with, not only from the federal government, but also from local government leaders who will not provide them the resources they need to fight crime. I don't know how they do it every single day.
Well, and to advance the story a little bit, we got some numbers as to the evidence why MPD is racist, Memphis Police Department. And what they're saying is that they are disproportionately arresting black teenagers. And those teenagers are coming from the downtown area who are violating curfew. They are loitering. And so what they said between 2018 and 2023 is that they arrested 180 black teenagers as opposed to four white kids
and 180 black teens. So in their mind, in the Justice Department's mind, and by the way, these are woke white attorneys from the Biden Justice Department. So in their estimation is you're only allowed at the max to arrest four blacks. So you have to let 176 of them go, because if only four white kids get arrested, you can only arrest four black kids. Is that pretty
Correct.
Much it?
Equality.
Yeah, equity.
Equity. Yeah, not equality. Yeah, so that's the thinking. And I live downtown where a lot of these kids are getting picked up. And that's a tough one to sell to downtowners who are fleeing downtown.
They're terrified because the crime's off the charts.
They also said that they are not arresting more white people for smoking pot. Hence, they're racist.
Okay. Well, this is interesting because the mayor's black. The city council majority black, the county mayor black, police chief black, a majority of the police force is black. So now they're saying that the overwhelmingly black leadership in Memphis is racist because they're arresting too many black people. And yet they're blaming the white man? I don't understand that.
Correct.
All right. 901-260-5926. We stand with law enforcement on this program. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Todd Stern Show. Talk about the NIL for just a moment. And, you know, Dylan, I know you're a big sports guy and you follow the are you Memphis Tigers guy?
Yeah.
All right. Any other teams you like?
My parents went to Ole Miss, so yeah, partial Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. All right. That's good. I may be of the wrong opinion here, but these licensing agreements, it's turned college sports into basically a miniaturized version of professional sports.
Absolutely. I can agree with that one for sure.
No loyalty, no allegiance to teams, nothing.
Yep.
Now,
business.
It is. It is. It's big business. And I get it. I mean, I understand the players need to, maybe they need to be paid something here. And the argument is, you know, that you're paying these coaches, you know, a couple of million dollars or more. And they're saying that the kids need to be compensated as well. My contention is the compensation is a college education.
Right. That's what it should be.
That's what it should be, right. But it's not even about college education anymore.
No.
So, I mean, these kids aren't even getting degrees in, I don't know, lesbian literature or, you know, pottery.
Thank goodness, right?
So, anyway, I'm just curious here because Bill Belichick is looking at possibly becoming the next head coach at UNC, University of North Carolina. And he said, yeah, I'm interested in this, but he said, you're going to have to agree to some things, and apparently gave them a 400-page Bible of things that he is wanting them to do. Do we have that that audio? Let's take a listen.
Let me put this in capital letters, if.
Yeah.
I-F, if. I was in a college program. The college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level and an education that would get the players ready for their career after football, whether that was the end of their college career or at the end of their pro career. But it would be, you know, geared toward, you know, developing the player, time management, you know, discipline, structure, and all that. That would be life skills, regardless of whether in the NFL or in somewhere in business. And you know, I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League, whether good enough or not, I don't know. But they would be ready for it. I don't have any doubt about that.
So here's I've got no problem with this. You know, if Belichick, I mean, he's a proven winner. Is Tom Brady going back to college? Is
do you imagine?
That is the weird thing, though, right? I mean, you've got these guys that are in their mid-20s and they're playing football or basketball for that matter. But here's my take on it. If part of that Bible, there needs to be some sort of an agreement. And maybe they need to, when they go back and revisit the NIL agreements, and they're going to have to do it, maybe there's some sort of an edict that when you sign your name on the dotted line, that's where you're playing ball all 4 years of your college career.
That's an interesting idea. Because nobody would be transferring.
And nobody's even made that recommendation. It's being made, this recommendation. So I could be helping to save college sports as we know it.
Yeah, and people think it's exciting for new players to transfer in, but it's honestly not. Because, like, I don't know, it's exciting to see a player stick around for 4 or 5 years with the same team like it used to be.
And here in Memphis, people, it's a love-hate relationship with the sports world. But they believe there's a large segment of the population that believes Penny Hardaway is their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he can do no wrong, ever. And it's so funny to go onto the sports message boards. I mean, it's awful. I mean, if you sneeze, they'll scream at you. I mean, that's how brutal these people are.
Can't be critical of Penny.
How many years has Penny Hardaway been? Is it seven seasons?
Yeah.
He's been with the Memphis Tigers.
Right.
His only previous coaching experience was what the high amateur.
Yeah,
those amateur clubs and the high school. Yeah. And he was a great coach. How many national championships has Penny Hardaway won in Memphis?
That would be zero.
And what about how many league championships has he won?
I think one.
Yeah. And we haven't gotten beyond. I mean, we have not advanced very far in the NCAA tournament.
No, we always get eliminated first round.
Yes.
Every time.
So anyway, all that to say that one of the challenges there, I think, is you've got players coming and going all the time, and there's no continuity. And my concern is what's happening in the stands. And I noticed this when Tennessee was starting to really struggle for many, many years after Phil Fulmer left or got fired. Lane Kiffin came on. Even though people hated Lane Kiffin, they still showed up to support the team.
Yeah.
When Derek Dooley, oh man, that was a rough go. Derek Dooley, the same thing. But I've noticed, and especially at Mississippi State, hardly anybody is going to these college games.
Yeah. You gotta buy them in. It's interesting because you look at the University of Nebraska, they have had a sold out game for like 15 years straight.
Wow.
It's like insane. And they haven't always been good. They're historically a good football program, but like they haven't always been the best team.
So what's going on there? And so I wonder, especially in Memphis, where you can't fill up the FedEx Forum for a Memphis Tigers basketball game.
Just crazy.
The football team is what, 10-2. Mm-hmm. And I know we were playing some high school teams out there, but it was still a 10-2 record. Yep. You can't even halfway fill up. The Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
And they destroyed half of it. They're rebuilding. You can't even fill up, so it's not even a full half.
It's not a bowl anymore.
No, it's a kind of a cup.
Yeah, it's a cup.
It's Liberty terrible. Cup. So I'm just wondering what's going on with college sports. What is the disconnect there that people aren't going? You know, is it the cost of the tickets? Are there, you know, again, it was pretty back when Peyton Manning was playing at UT and then T. Martin, you could pretty much, you know, guarantee they were going to be there for the full 4 years of their college career.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that anymore.
That's right.
Even the marching band. I hear they, at the University of Memphis, they had to cut some funding for the marching band.
Super small. I went to a game this season. Oh, my gosh. When I was there, I was like, you know, 200-plus members, maybe 100.
I'm going to say something that's going to anger people. but this applies to sports and it applies to church. There's this movement afoot to fire the choirs at all of these big churches, you know, just to say, you know what, we're going to go with a cover band.
Right.
And they'll be the worship band. And so we're going to fire the choir. And then what happens? The church splits. Why does the church split? Well, let's say you got 400 people in your church choir. Those 400 people have spouses. That's 800 people right there. Those 800 people have kids. So you can kind of figure out where this goes. I think the same thing applies to college football. That a lot of the people going to these games have sons or daughters that are not necessarily on the field, but maybe they're in the stands, in the marching band, or they're cheerleaders or whatever, pep squad.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that one before.
Because I remember I heard when you were in the marching band at U of M.
Yes.
It was rocking.
It was 2019.
And now they got the rap music. I don't want to sound like that guy. I'm just not a fan of the rap. I want to hear marching bands.
Memphis culture.
Right?
No, me too. I want to hear the marching band.
I don't want to hear somebody rapping Rocky Top. I want to hear Rocky Top.
Absolutely.
And now they've done something weird with Rocky Top that makes it sound sort of like eerie.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Yes.
I've heard that.
That's like, whoa.
They slow it down like three times.
So I think, though, and again, when you look at what's happening in Memphis, we can't fill up, you know, the soccer stadium, they can't fill up the baseball. Something is going on in sports in America, and I'm wondering what it is. 901-260-5926, ladies and gentlemen. Is the NIL, are they sucking the joy out of college sports? Because there's nothing like college football in America, and especially in the Southeastern Conference. I'm particular. All right, I've got to tell you about our good friends over at Balance of Nature. Take them every single day when I get up, right before my first cup of community coffee. Got to be realistic, though, about the December diet. Yeah, it's probably not going to be working out too well. It's got to be the worst month of the year in terms of eating right, right? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you got the great food, you got the delicious treats, but I am going to be taking Balance of Nature every single day. Balance of Nature is made from whole fruit and veggie ingredients, and I'm not going to skip taking those daily supplements. It's the one thing that I'll get right, because feeling good is important, and especially during the Christmas season. So here's what I want you to do, folks. Check out Balance of Nature. Join me, and let's push back the dreaded December diet crash and get Balance of Nature. You can use my discount code Todd, T-O-D-D. Sign up as a new customer. They're going to give you 50% off, plus free shipping and their money-back guarantee. You're not going to want your money back because it actually works. This is an awesome December discount, but you have to use my discount code Todd. You can give them a call, 1-800-246-8751. Use the discount code Todd, or you can order online at balanceofnature.com. Use the discount code Todd to get 50% off plus free shipping. Washington State, there's a school district there teaming up with the Mexican consulate, and they want to offer illegals ways to deal with ICE. This is all in advance of the looming mass deportation. Cut 12, please.
Once again, we're seeing social media influence decision-making, this time here at the Edmonds School District, who has now canceled their one and only Know Your Right session. They say Meadowdale High School is no longer a safe space to host this event because those social media comments did include happy hunting and folks saying that they would be there to, quote, help ICE get rid of garbage illegal aliens. This is a huge disservice, according to immigration advocacy organizations who say that these sessions come at a crucial time when communities feel unsafe. A save the date for the Know Your Right session was sent to Edmonds School District parents late last week. It was posted to the district's calendar in partnership with the Mexican consulate, who scheduled a two-hour window on December 17th. A flyer for the event said the conversation would include how to prepare for immigration raids, what your rights are when approached, detained, or incarcerated by police or immigration agents. 24% of the school district students are Hispanic or Latino. Overall, there are more minority students at 47.1% compared to 45.3% who are white. News of the session was quickly shared on X by the account Libs on TikTok. Since Friday, it has more than 580,000 views and hundreds of comments, including, great time to round them all up. Cool, we can get the whole family at the same time. If you're here illegally, you should not get rights.
I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised.
Everyone in the U.S. is guaranteed rights under the Constitution, regardless of immigration status, according to the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants. One America, an organization pushing for policy change, says there's been an increase in requests for these types of sessions by communities since 2016.
We equip people with the knowledge they need to ensure that them and their families and their communities know what they can and can't do in the face of raids or targeted deportation. There's a lot at stake when our community doesn't know their rights.
All right, there you go. Here's the deal. Defund the police. Defund that school district right now. Just defund them. You're going to side with the illegals? Okay, no federal tax money for you. That's how we're going to fix all of that. Folks, I cannot wait. It is going to be such a glorious day when the deportations begin. And we're talking about tens of millions of illegals. By the way, this is a terrible story. Ben Dieter, you left this in the stack of stuff. Firefighters rescue Santa Claus. I can't even begin to imagine. Norwalk, Connecticut. They were having the annual Norwalk Holiday Extravaganza. May I just do a brief aside? Why don't they call it Christmas? Can't they just call it Christmas?
No, not anymore.
Santa Claus is not sliding down a Hanukkah. No, he's a menorah. He's sliding down a chimney, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point here.
Except not here, because he was rescued from the side of a skyscraper.
Yeah. So Santa Claus got stuck on the side of a building and had to be rescued. He was planning to rappel down the side of a 13-story building when his costume got tangled up in the rigging, and he was suspended and unable to move. Was he upside down?
It's a real-life nightmare, Todd. Mm.
Rescue crews were able to reach Old St. Nick through a sixth-floor window. They had to take down the window, I guess because he's Santa. You know, his belly shakes like jelly.
I mean, here's the thing that's so interesting. You've got to give it to this Santa who really committed to the bit. And, you know, I'm looking at a photo. Todd, I'm going to hand you my laptop. Please describe what you're... It is a skyscraper. You don't want to be on the side of this building. It's one thing to be stuck in a chimney, a rock chimney in your home. It's another thing to be stuck where you only see the people that wash the windows of skyscrapers. That's where he's strapped. Is he upside down?
No, he's not upside down, but he looks like he's like Syrian Santa Claus, like he got strung up.
Yeah.
Looks like he's hung.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyways, the good news is they said no injuries, and Santa is delivering those gifts.
We have audio from the moment it happened. I know we're surprised by this. Let's go to that audio. Ho, ho, ho!
Well done.
There you go. All right, Santa.
13-story building.
Why don't they call it Christmas? You know, in Germantown, Tennessee, I'm going to get in trouble here. My town, they call it the holiday parade. What? It's a Christmas parade. Why don't we just call it a Christmas parade?
I don't know. Did you ask them?
Are the Muslims celebrating something we don't know about?
No.
I don't think so.
Yom Kippur? Or is that another? I mean, is that? No, that's. So here's the thing. There are so many in the month of December. I was looking at my calendar.
There's Hanukkah.
There is Hanukkah. There are all sorts of different events that all of these different people groups are celebrating. The one thing that they struggle with Christmas is I believe the Christians are only celebrating this one. And that's where we kind of get together and we go to church. We Christmas carol. We sing about the word. It's literally in the Christmas. And I think that's why people maybe find that offensive. I mean, if you take Christ out of Christmas, literally just phonetically, it goes away.
Well, you have to take Mass out, too, because that's a part of it. You know, the whole word. It's like the whole word is about Jesus.
Yeah. No, I know it's a huge trend, but I will say in Target, they are putting Merry Christmas banners up, and that is a reversal on some of their signage, because it used to only be Happy Holidays, because you've got to include the Muslims and all of the other groups.
So does that mean we can go shopping at Target now?
Well, I still think they have their transgender baby suits, so the boycott still remains.
It's just tiring. It's really tiring.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for Target, though. I mean, at least they're doing the right
thing. And Starbucks put their red Christmas cups out there again. So maybe there is an awakening in this country. They got rid of those for the same reason you're talking about. All
right. Wait, did Santa survive? Did we get to that part
of it? Yes.
Oh, good.
No injuries. They got him down, and he delivered his packages.
All right. Well, there you go. So all's well that ends well, and to all a good night. All right, folks, we're going to be back tomorrow doing it all over again. And yes, on this program, we celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah.
But mostly
Christmas. Yeah. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun. Have a great day, everybody. You be good, America.